quarter blood technique. You do that, a quarter blood will drop out of a person's body.
Tell how you beat on a cop.
Wasn't no cop, man. It was cops. Plural. 9, 10 cops. Beat the shit out of 10 cops and had to change my whole strategy around.
Yo, when they brought you in here and booked you, you was crying like a pussy.
Yeah.
That's cause when the cops fell, he threw tear gas in my face. And that's the kind of shit they use on crowds, man. I still walk in here like a man, so get out of my face, all right?
I mean, you beating up on a man? You putting a man in a hospital? How come I don't see no marks on you?
Yeah.
Cause I'm a karate man, all right? Karate man bruise on the inside. They don't show their weaknesses. But you don't know that cause you're a big Barry White looking motherfucker. Now get off my back, all right? I wish my bitches hurry up and get here. I ain't got no time to be sitting inside this cell with you.
Where is your bitches, Mr. Big Time Pimp?
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you that the phone in my limousine is busted and I can't get in contact with my bitches?
Yeah, the phone in the limo is busted. What are you, ignorant?
Hey, look, sit down, all right?
It ain't cool being no jive turkey so close to Thanksgiving.
Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is swing. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot.
So hi and welcome to the interview podcast. This is Andrew. He just called us a broad. He just referred to us as a broadcast.
Welcome yes. to the online version broadcast.
You speak English? So you're about to ask yourself whether I'm willing to cut the episode right now and start this over. No, I want it to stay. I want people to hear this nonsense because this is what I put up every week.
Oh, this is what you put up.
Ah!
See, you're subjecting yourself to your terrible English.
Yes, I'm to my terrible English.
And your sparkling charisma and your hosting chops.
Anyways.
Oh, the segues are beautiful. Every time I have someone listen to it, they're like...
Are you serious?
Do you make people listen to it?
Of course.
When you have a force. I was like, of course it's by force. Why do you guys do... Like, you guys are laughing, but those transitions are terrible.
Yeah.
We know. Yeah, but it's not... Like, it's bad. We know. At least I know. I know they're bad.
Anyways.
You're a bad person.
This week,
mm-hmm.
Douglas, he decided to take us back to France. Back to the world... of Michel Gondry, where imagination rules.
Hey, Chick.
Hey, bonjour. C'est ton nouveau cuisinier?
Mon avocat et mon maître à penser.
Il cuisine pour se calmer les nerfs.
Rendez-vous au frigo.
Il faut que tu bois mon piano cocktail. À chaque note correspond un alcool, une liqueur ou un aromate. On obtient un goût nostalgique.
Oh, guys.
Please.
Oh, guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a nap though.
I got to watch a Michel Gondry movie this week. It's great. Alright, so for those of you who can't see, which is everybody listening, these two assholes have actually gone to sleep. They have laid down and you can hear Damien is snoring. Andrew just chimed in. How wonderfully supportive they are.
I'll remember that statement next time we watch our cursed army film.
Supportive. That's what you do here on this podcast. Support one another.
I forgot.
So, Mood Indigo is the name of the movie that I asked us to watch this week. It, of course, is directed by none other than Michel Gondry. It is broadly... about a relationship between a guy and a girl.
Colin and Chloe.
Not Colin, Colin.
Look, I'm not fucking French.
Colin! and Chloe, yes.
Colin!
Oh my word, this podcast has broken already. And it really just is, you know, the rise and the fall, or the beginning and the end of the relationship, essentially. It is about, and I'm saying this is in a broad sense, because broad. With almost what did he just do? Oh my God. Andrew, please, no Barrington Levy jokes.
Like, I heard you say it, and the way you said it, right? You extended the word enough. I was like,
Andrew,
I'm never doing this podcast again.
And is it okay? At least if I was talking about a musical, then fine. Broader than Broadway. Well, okay, we get it. But no.
Douglas, I don't think that's ever applicable. You cannot come up with that. Even if we're making jokes about Barrington Levy, I don't think that is applicable. I hate you guys so much.
Yep. All right. So, Michel Gondry made a movie. It's about Colin and Chloe and how they fall in love and, you know, how things go after that. And there is not just falling in love. There are, you know, other things that happen to you when you're in a relationship. That said, this makes this movie sound like what Damien would probably describe as a real movie. It would make it sound like a movie.
A thing humans can watch.
Exactly, that humans can watch and understand. Please be reminded that the director of this film is Michel Gondry. That brought us Gondry-esque. The Science of Sleep and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Now, this movie... I was really happy about watching this movie. For a long time, I've been quite upset with Gondry, because I love his first few movies. And... you know, the varying amounts of ridiculousness that are in them. You know, whether it is a movie about a man raised by the woods, or a guy that can't quite tell whether he's awake or sleeping. But this movie, for a long time he hasn't really made anything of note, I would say. But finally with this movie, he essentially pulled up his socks and got into it and said, you know what, I'm going to science the sleep out of this movie. And that's exactly what he did. This movie was kind of like the science of sleep on drugs, which is saying something. It wasn't very realistic. There was a lot of, you know, like just ridiculous visuals of flying clouds and plants being grown from the water, from the bath water of this man that went through a ceiling and into a pot, and it was weird, I grant you, but maybe I know there's something wrong with the wiring in my head. I like French weirdness, I really do, especially Michel Gondry's type of weirdness. And then you bring in another kind of bias that I have, which is Audrey Tautou. I love Audrey Tautou. Amélie is one of my favorite movies, and ever since then I've decided that no matter what she's in, it will be awesome, and this is no exception. So this movie is just it's wonderful. It's kind of a great Gondry really exercises his imagination muscles in this one much more than he has in a long time.
That's what he exercises.
And I mean, for me, I love the way that he used the colors in this movie, because if you notice, right, and this movie, as I said, it's very much, you know, the rise and the fall of a relationship. So in the beginning, everything is bright, everything is, you know, colorful, you've got your reds, your blues, all of those things. And then slowly but surely, as the situation sort of gets worse and worse, you see those colors dampen, and they continue to dampen until by the end of the movie is actually in black and white, which is, it's just this perfect sort of metaphor, at least in my eyes, for, you know, what's going on with the rest of the movie. And, you know, it's what can I say? I just love Michel Gondry and his tomfoolery. I love his cellophane. Wow. I love his sort of the way that he just brings all of his visuals together. I love the way that his stories don't necessarily need to make, you know, sense. I know I'm going to be in the minority here, but I really want to turn it over to you guys and see what you thought. So, Damien?
That's my little pick. That's
my Is it weird I haven't watched a movie since it came out? I love that movie.
It's the only thing called Simpsons that I've ever seen.
Seriously?
No, we used to watch a TV show, but okay. The only thing that I watch now that is Simpsons.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it a couple of times. Because it's...
I still love the TV show.
What? I do not like Michel Gondry. Alright?
I know you don't.
I am going to stop pretending like he is done. I stayed up all last night. Don't ask. Very tired. It is time for me to accept that I do not like his brand of French nonsense. Do not like The Science of Sleep. I don't like anything he did. And holy shit. Douglas, we had our moment with Plastic Bag Jellyfish.
Yes.
We did.
Yes.
We connected.
But this is 100, this is something and off in a different direction.
Part of me is wondering, would I have had a better time if I had seen it in the same circumstances as Plastic Bag Jellyfish? But then reality sets in when there's like a talking rat thing and like a crane with a cloud car and just like chair fights, and like my brain, like, just as my brain was trying to catch up with the insanity that took place a frame ago, Michel Gondry just digs further and further into his head full of, I don't even know what is in his head, and just goes more and just more and just non-stop. And I realize that, like, there are people who are lunatics and enjoy. Dan Harmon is one such lunatic. Nothing that comes out of that man's face makes sense to humans. It is all nonsense from start to finish. Cut right. He is also a crazy person. But I don't. Douglas's movie is bad. Like, it. I know you think he told a story. Sure, some way you were able to brush aside all the garbage and see like a line where a story was told. I don't even want to try anymore. That's how much I dislike this movie. I don't even feel like trying to give this movie a chance. I just loathe every second that I spent with this movie. From the intro to the end, I was just in a state of bewilderment, just waiting for the movie to end so that I could delete it and never watch. Like Michel Gondry has somehow worked his way to Dogtooth level. Right? Where he hasn't, like, it wasn't an assault, and I don't hate him. And it's not that, like, if he makes another movie, I might watch it. But it won't be of my, like, I'll see his name and go,
yeah, Michel Gondry. And then I'll remember.
Don't like any of his movies.
No, I'm just checking because that's the one that most people will.
And nope. I don't get his brand of lunacy. And.
But there's Disco Santo.
I understand there's Disco Santo. But that movie wasn't good.
Oh, it was horrendous. I hated that movie.
Disco Santa
went... I haven't liked that movie from Gondry in a long time.
Disco Santa went a long ways to making me think I like Michel Gondry. But then I remember that Disco Santa was like 5 minutes in, and then for the next hour and 30 minutes, it was just hot garbage on the screen. I just have to accept now that I don't like, and chances are, like, he's not going to get less weird. No one is going to hand him enough money for him to go, alright, I'm going to tone down the weirdness.
Well, he did with Disco Santa.
Right, and no one is going to give him that amount of money again. Right, they're going to go, you know, just keep making French weird shit, and we'll leave you alone here with our piles of money. We give it to Michael B. again. Some shit. I don't like your movie, Douglas. And I don't like your director. I know you like him. I think you're wrong. Andrew.
Do I have to talk about this movie?
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
I'm very interested. I really want to know what you
have. I've been watching Zatoichi films. Can we talk about that?
Sure. Gladly. Let's train.
Alright, Mood Indigo. I want to explain this very clearly, mm-hmm. and very, very hopefully, because I don't want to sound negative, right? But
fuck
if
this
I had a choice,
right?
Mm-hmm. I think at this point in time, I would happily explode all of French cinema, just so that movies like this don't exist anymore.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Douglas, this movie is so bad, right? And here lies the thing, and I'm trying to think about this as I was watching this movie, because I do love Eternal Sunshine of Spotless Mind. Mm-hmm. I do love The Science of Sleep. I do love, to a certain extent, Be Kind, Rewind.
Oh,
right?
I hate that movie.
Because that movie comes from a place of certain optimism and hope that I want out of film love, out of people who love movies. Right, so I can see a lot of things to like in that movie, even if it's not the perfect movie, right? And I think Science of Sleep is the best one to correlate to talking about this movie.
Yeah, most definitely.
And what I think Gondry did with that movie, which allowed for his weirdness to be okay with not just me, but anyone who saw it, including Damien, because he loves it, he's just lying to himself.
Mm-hmm.
So
much.
Is that he introduced the idea of perspective, right? Mm-hmm. He gave us, the audience, the understanding that what we're seeing is we're watching the world through the eyes of this crazy person. And not him as a director is the crazy person, because with this movie, you're given no sense of it. It feels almost like this is a reality in which everyone understands exists and has a science that no one needs to talk about because we all already accept it. Just like how when we watch normal movies, we understand that the sky is blue and the grass is green, and we don't need to talk about all of the science behind it. We just get it, mm-hmm. right? But the thing about it is that there's so many points in time throughout this movie, like every 2 minutes, there's something else that's introduced in such a haphazard, whimsical manner, without any explanation, that as someone who is viewing this world for the first time, you have so many questions which you are not able to ask. You're not able to stop Omar Sy from dancing in that manner and say, why is this working, right? You're not able to stop Chloe from flying up into the air under the water while they're married and ask, why did water come up into this world? And the thing is that I was a person who obsessed over Gondry's work, right? I obsessed over it. I even went into a lot of his short films, a lot of his music videos, which he introduced a lot of his craziness, mm-hmm. and I accepted it in this short format, in this tiny joke form. And I think that's the next point, right? This movie, it's not willing to discuss its world with us, mm-hmm. and at the same time, it's not fucking funny, right? it's when you watch...
What about the scene with the chair?
You shut up, sir.
Huh?
You...
So funny.
Take a nap. When we're watching Omar Sy and the guy playing Colin dance for the first time, it's not funny, right? It's just something that's weird. We're not connecting with it in a way that we're finding anything entertaining about it. It's just weird. When we see the rat walk around, it's weird. It's not funny. When you see them in the car and Omar Sy is saying, no, I'm getting directions from the GPM, which we then see is a global positioning mouse. Right?
Oh, is that what that is?
Because it's a mouse in the thing pointing, right?
Yeah.
Not very funny,
yeah.
Right? It's like I almost feel like if I were to have...
Just don't understand French comedy.
Right? And when I think about it more and more, I can go through all of the countries of films that I've delved into. And I'm not saying that French is worse or anything, right? Because, I mean,
yeah.
I've gone into Asian cinema and there's some bad ones in there. I've gone into Korean and there's some bad ones in there. Why am I saying that like it's different? I thought, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to try and save that. I've gone into South America and there's some bad ones in there. But something about French movies that when they hit a stinker like this, like it just hurts more because it's like Gondry is trying to hit me. Like we talk about being hit over the head with movies, and generally we talk about that to deal with like messages in movies where they're saying you shouldn't be a bad person or you don't do this or whatever. But like with a movie like this, it feels like it's attempting to get me to love weird. Right? And I'm not willing to, not so easily, not like, I want questions, right? If you're not going to be entertaining, I want to ask questions of this world. And if you're not going to give me the ability to find out things about this world to be interested in, like, why is there a feeling that during certain scenes, there's a stop motion-ness to the feeling, the motion with it? Oh, it just feels bad. I hate this movie, Douglas. Douglas, I hate this movie.
What? It's so good. But I love this movie.
That's three bad movies in a row for Gondry.
More than that,
that's
I'm sure.
Like eight bad movies in a row.
How is that? Like, what are the three?
Like Green Hornet.
100
yeah.
million.
The We and the I.
Oh
Indigo.
My god.
Did you watch that?
Of course.
Oh Christ.
You idiots kept talking about it.
I said it was the worst thing in the world.
And so I definitely wanted to prove you wrong, but you were not.
I don't think Douglas has seen it. Has Douglas watched
it?
The
We and the I? No,
yeah.
I haven't. But I'm pretty sure he's done more bad things recently.
No, I'm talking in a row.
In a row?
And I like the Be Kind Rewind.
Well, I don't like the Be Kind Rewind. I honestly want to...
No one likes the Be Kind Rewind. And he's lying to himself.
Yeah, I want to watch it again because it, as you said, it has all of the kind of elements that I want to like in Gondry's movies, but
and it has
yeah.
it has the right access to the weirdness, right? It gives you a grounding that you're okay with. You know, there's a regular world where people are working in a video store and they decide to do something weird themselves, which is make their own cheap versions of movies they love,
mm-hmm.
right? And you get to have that weirdness in it while just being happy about it. This movie doesn't even give you a moment's breath of away from weirdness. It's just attacking you.
No, I mean, and that's true. And
garbage.
And the thing about it is after, because I with you didn't realize how, you know, much Gondry-ness was going to be in this movie. And
you saw that trailer though, so you're lying.
Actually,
you saw the trailer, but it's you could still have said,
like,
oh, it's kind of like Science of Sleep.
Right,
and
you would hope for some form of
coherence
to kind of keep you in tune with the weird.
Mm-hmm. But then I remember after about the first 5 minutes, I was like, oh, this is what we're doing.
We are super fucked.
And you see, that's the thing, right? That's where you have to make your decision. Either... You guys, either you take your guys' stance where you're like, you know, fuck you. I don't like weird. Or you go,
oh,
like,
yeah, that's what I said.
Or you go, like I did, and you're just like, oh, that's what this is. All right, let's see what happens.
All right, as someone who made the decision
yeah.
to go with it, what is it that you walk out of this movie with other than 2 hours of nonsense?
Okay, let me answer that question by asking you another question. What's wrong with walking out of a movie with 2 hours of nonsense if the nonsense was kind of enjoyable?
None. That's what your opinion.
But what was happy? What made you laugh? When we talk about movies like The Wolf of Wall Street, we're pinpointing jokes.
Yeah, but listen, right? I don't need to laugh at it. I don't need to. The weirdness doesn't need to be funny. The weirdness can just be weird. The biggest thing I love about this movie is the way it looks and how just beautiful it is, and the fact that when they dance, their legs are super long, and you're just like, what? That looks weird, but it looks weird. Pretty, and there's this sort of cool, sort of beautiful thing that happens when they flow in that way. And then, you know, you have the revolving lines of flowers, and you have just all of these just things that I agree make zero sense, right? They don't make any sense, but they look beautiful, and they distract me for an hour and a half or however long this movie is.
I like the idea though that this movie lets the world know that if you're going to get married, you'll be super broke.
Super broke. And your friends will steal money from you.
Like even with that, right? Even with the relationship stuff and going into the money issues, like I didn't even understand how those things really came together. Like I remember when the movie started and they were talking about the idea of this guy being wealthy enough that he didn't really need to work, and he was happy and he was making all of these piano cocktail machines, and it was weird and cool, and I'm down with that, right? But then he gets married to this girl, he spends a little bit of money, right? And he goes down the rabbit hole of money dwindling and has to get a job, and the color saturation to eventually being black and white. I get that. I understand it. I appreciate movies which do things like that. Right, but what didn't quite make sense to me isn't so much the way the film was colored, but things like the actual, it had to do with the world as it is, things like the actual room being filled with this cobwebby thing.
Well, for me, that's, you know, yet another, it's the same, I think it's the same thing as the color. As things got worse, there was more of this cobweb, and there was less space, and it was more barren, and there was less light, and it was just oppressive because of the situation that they were in, because it's not a nice situation, right? That's how I saw it. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, you know what it is for me as well? I'm okay with not understanding. As long as I felt... No, I'm serious. I'm okay with not understanding as long as I felt like I gained something from it. Whether that thing that I gained is simply enjoyment of 2 hours, or whether it was, you know, the pretty pictures or whatever it is. As long as I said to myself, okay, that was worth it. I don't need to understand everything, you know? And that's probably why I like some of the weird-ass movies that I like.
Seventh Seal?
No, I hear you on that. But that, no. You see, yes, I'm okay with not understanding. But no, I'm not okay with not understanding and not enjoying what I'm not understanding. That I just didn't enjoy, right? And then, no, once you start not enjoying, you start asking those questions.
Guess what
you're like, okay.
Guess what movie you just described?
No, but you see, that's just the difference. You guys didn't enjoy it, and that's fine. You guys didn't enjoy it, but I did. I enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed the beauty that was this movie.
You're a
right?
Person.
And because you call back Seventh Seal, because there wasn't anything really that I enjoyed in that movie, you just start to ask those questions that you could ask of this movie, but just in a negative light now. So, you know, I ask those questions now, and I wonder, like, for example, as you said, there was Science of Sleep gave you perspective. For a long time, I was wondering, is this kind of just this man's perspective, and maybe
everyone else saw it.
Well, it's not necessarily that everybody else saw it. It's just that, because remember, you know, everybody else may not have seen it. This is all from somebody's perspective. It could be his alone, and he really is a little bit crazy or undeveloped or whatever it is. And so his filter just shows all of these things. And even as people speak, his filter changes, you know. So I don't know what that means, right? I don't know what that layer of unreality is supposed to mean. But again, I'm fine with not knowing. And actually, if I Google it and find out, I'm fine with that too.
Went to Google unreality.
Yep.
I'm sorry to intrude on this tender scene. I knew her before you did, loved her before you did. I wasn't as lucky as you. I'll take care of her myself.
No, not that way.
I stood looking at her when she was asleep. I could have...
Why?
So once again, keeping in line with my weekly forcing of Douglas to watch older movies, this past week I got Douglas to watch the 1940s Alfred Hitchcock film Notorious.
Fuck that movie.
No. Notorious. Just wanted you guys to get that out of your system.
Yep.
Douglas, what do you think about Notorious?
Which one is Notorious again?
Cary Grant is a spy with Ingrid Bergman.
B-I-G-P-O-P-T.
No info for the DEA.
All of you.
So
bad.
He was a federal agent.
Why do you speak up in that line? Not an accident.
Oh my goodness.
We're bad people. So we're going to help us. For being idiots.
Alright, let me see if I remember this movie now. Of course it's a good movie. It's a Hitchcock movie, and at least the ones that I've seen.
What? We don't just use blanket statements like that. Of course, it's because it's a Hitchcock movie.
What I was about to say, if you let me finish, was, and so far, out of the Hitchcock movies I've seen, probably not that many, but enough to say that I've seen a few, I like all of them. Right?
No one's perfect except James Cameron.
Wow. I enjoy this movie. It's
Douglas, you have to speak when you're speaking about these old ass movies on our podcast. You have to use words like esoteric.
But the thing about this movie is it's nothing like that. This is just a run of the mill movie. It's a run of the mill thriller kind of movie. It's not.
Doesn't make work.
Shut up. It's as far as I'm concerned, in terms of what happens, in terms of what the story tries to tell, it's nothing, you know, extremely out of the ordinary. You have a young woman who is, I'm not quite sure of her status, whether it's that she's been naturalized or she, you know, is an immigrant to the U.S. or if she's a daughter of immigrants to the U.S. Who was, you know, born on U.S. soil, whatever
really
it is.
Explained.
Not really explained, but that's fine. The thing is, she's a daughter of immigrants, or at least an immigrant, her father, who is not a nice boy, right? He happened to do some treasonous things, and he is now in big boy jail, right? And
as we learned last week, little things go to big boy jail.
Yes, it does. And that made me sad. It just didn't make any sense. But anyway, so he went to big boy jail, and for some reason, the police thought, you know what? We'll have his daughter repay us for sending her father to jail, who she loved, by making her a spy and sending her on a spy mission. And somehow that actually worked. So I don't know how, but it did work. Well, because she was actually all pro-America, and Uncle Sam is awesome.
Yeah. keeping a straight face.
And so...
I'm keeping a straight face.
Fuck yeah.
So there's no movie called Spy Mission.
Spy Kids.
This world sucks.
Anyway, so, you know, she goes and she, you know, does her duty. And she, of course, falls in love with Mr. Steamy Federal Agent Cary Grant. And, you know, it's all about that. The movie's all about that sort of relationship, that tug of war between... okay, I realize that I like you, and I know you're supposed to do this, but I don't want you to do this. I'm not going to tell you that I don't want you to do this. I'm just going to test you by saying that you should do it, and if you don't do it, then I'll know that you love me, and we're done. We're good. And
that's what relationships
that
are.
Essentially works on both sides of the fence in this case. And guess what, guys? When you don't talk to people and you don't tell them what you really want, they tend not to do what you really want them to do, right? And so... I liked that sort of, you know, that relationship, that aspect of their relationship. The story was fun. As I say, it was just, as far as I'm concerned, a regular old, what's the best way to describe this? Not exactly a thriller, but I don't know. It's a fun spy movie.
Not going to sing the thriller song, I'm better than that.
It's the questions, boy, it's the questions. It's the questions, come on, the questions. It's the questions, boy, it's the questions. It's the questions, yeah, the questions. It's the questions, y'all, it's the questions. It's the questions, dig it, the questions. It's the questions, boy, it's the questions. So, yeah, what is it?
We need to stop doing this podcast.
So moving on into questions.
Someone's going to sue us for being stupid.
Only you could do that, Damon.
Oh, god damn it.
You know how much better the world would be?
Oh, so much better.
What day is today? Is today Sunday?
Yes, it is.
God damn it.
You have work tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Monday.
Anyway. Yep. Time still works in the same way. Guys are so good at this.
So this week in questions. Last week, talking about Martin Scorsese, I was curious to find out what people would decide if I put two films of his into a death match. And deciding between Taxi Driver and Goodfellas, asking if you could save one and have the other one be forgotten from existence forever, which would you pick? And I found it interesting that with one vote for Kundun, a writing of Kundun, another vote reminding us that they refused to choose, the other 8 votes, only one was for Goodfellas, so the internet would save Taxi Driver. And let Goodfellas rot in hell.
That's fine. We know that
the internet has
is
been wrong since the inception of the internet.
I'd like to say thank you, internet. I agree with you.
Nope.
Shocking. Andrew, who is technically part of the internet, as he produces content for said internet, agrees with internet. Shocking.
This week, with Noah finally being released, I'm kind of curious for people to talk about films about religion, and what would be the film that you would most want to recommend to religious viewers to go and check out, whether it be a film to challenge their beliefs or to kind of just revel in it. I think you guys might have the best idea yet.
Damon, you want to go on 3? 1, 2, 3.
Antichristo! Antichristo!
Are you serious?
Oh my god!
Yeah.
The perfect point to recommend Breaking the Waves?
No,
like...
no, because... Let me tell you why.
No.
Because
Breaking the Waves... First of all, help me out in how Antichrist deals with religion.
It doesn't. But that's not necessary. Let me tell you how this works, right?
This is a long con.
Breaking the Waves, okay. Sure. It does all of that. However, if you're really religious, I wonder if you might see it or not see it. Because you already have this bias. And you see things through that lens. And so you might not realize what the movie is telling you, right? You might just be like, oh yes, she is godless. And be cool with that, right? Now let me talk about Antichrist. Antichrist. He's entitled Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, in and of itself is enough. But then Antichrist is the movie that it is. And it will get people who would never want to watch a movie like this to watch a movie like this and probably die screaming. And that, I would enjoy watching that.
Listen, it's just a con to get people to watch the Lars von Trier. Right? I was like, why would I watch? As a Christian, I shouldn't watch a movie called Antichrist. And I'll say to you, this won't challenge your religion. We'll challenge other things, not your religion. And to see how many people go, alright, this sounds dumb.
See how many people watch it to the end.
And then smile.
I love that when you recommend a movie to someone, like something kind of weird, kind of challenging, and they come back to you, I didn't finish it. I couldn't. Like, I went 20 minutes in and...
And decided, I don't hate myself enough to do this.
Yep.
I'm going to watch Power Rangers again.
Yep. I like how you've very recently, child, actively sought out that experience, Andrew.
I haven't contacted him to ask him how it's going.
First of all, you're giving strange people Blu-rays, which is the first mistake. And did you even ask him if he had a Blu-ray?
Came from Iran.
I did when I gave.
Like this. What? Why?
Like, you can play blue, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, here's this one from a country you probably never heard of.
I'm sure he's heard of scrubs.
Pig in a poke, it pays to be a glutton. Pig in a poke. Oink! 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 Pig in a poke.
Right. So, the first 2 weeks of this game were just feeling out how you lunatics reacted.
I'm horrible at it.
Andrew's terrible.
Douglas is
less terrible. But this week, I've done it. I've tied it both to movies and to our fantasy nonsense.
I'm so worried.
There's also rap music.
Oh,
to help you.
Oh,
is it 90s rap music?
Yes, it is 90s.
Okay, at least we have that.
Perfect.
You are incorrect when you say perfect.
Maybe I have a chance.
And what I've done to rectify some of my essentially poor choices is to not leave it up to me at all. Excel does a wonderful job of randomizing shit. So I put Excel to good use. This week, all you guys will need to do is tell me in what orders these movies performed. Which movie made the most money, which movie made the second most, and which movie made the least most. Simple enough. I'm going to name three movies. I'm going to ask you what year they came out. If you cannot tell me, I'll give you a hint by way of rap music. If you're still unable, you get no point. And I'll move on. Because I do not care. You know too little.
About this world.
It is 10 questions total. But they're all movies from the 90s. So if one of you idiots says 2000, I'm going to kill you.
2001, bitches.
Right? To the Excel sheet.
I feel like there should be like a music there.
You're going to stop. Since you're talking nonsense, let's start with you, Andrew.
So, this is just in order of most to least made money.
Right. I'm going to give you three movies, and you need to tell me what year they came out in.
Each movie?
All of them came out in the same
year. Okay, I'm just checking.
Stop being ridiculous. Why would I do that?
Because you're crazy.
Podcast
you are,
in history.
Because you are
Stop
a
talking.
Bad man.
Lethal Weapon 3.
Shit.
The Mighty Ducks.
Shit.
The Bodyguard. What year did these three movies, seminal works of our time, come out in?
The Weapon 3, Mighty Ducks,
and
Bodyguard.
Bodyguard.
I have a guess, but I want
Would
a
you
hint.
Like some help?
I want a hint for the year. I have a
Dr.
guess.
Dr. Dre's Da Chronic was the best-selling rap album of that year.
I know exactly what year that is. No, The Chronic? Oh, The Chronic.
The T-H-E, Chronic.
Mm.
Alright, so I'm going to stick with my guess that I had initially.
Mm-hmm.
92.
Good job.
Now, in order,
mm-hmm.
From most to least, sure. I am going to guess. Let me remind myself again. This
Lethal Weapon 3. The Mighty Ducks and The Bodyguard.
So, Bodyguard, Ducks, Lethal Weapon 3.
Mm-hmm. In what order?
From most to least.
So, Bodyguard made the most.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks is second. Is that what you have?
That's what
yes,
he said.
Yes, yes.
And Lethal Weapon is third. You are incorrect.
Absolutely wrong.
Douglas, would you like to hazard, I guess?
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ducks definitely made the least. Lethal Weapon made the second, and I would believe that Bodyguard beat the Ducks.
Once again, incorrect.
Wow,
Lethal Weapon made $144 million. The Bodyguard made $121 million.
Jeez.
And for the Ducks,
yeah,
made a paltry $50 million.
The Ducks would not have been number one.
Yep.
Yeah, or anyway, sorry.
I swore the Bodyguard had to win that.
Me too.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
How do points work, by the way?
Do I get points for the year?
You get points for nothing. You got everything. You got the year right, so you got a chance to attempt the question.
Oh, wow.
And then you got everything
wow.
wrong.
Whoa.
Douglas would have stolen a point, and he got destroyed.
Okay. You are the worst teacher.
This is my game. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
Douglas Robinson, question number two.
I feel like I'm doing a Harry Potter
exam. Stop the talking.
And I just explain.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Batman and Robin, and the face, it comes off.
Face off.
Mm-hmm. What year?
Face off, Batman and Robin, and Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Did I start out tomorrow, and it did not die? That's the name of the movie. The Undying Tomorrow. Dead Air is not pretty on podcast. Would you like a hint as to what was the best-selling rap album of the year?
No, hold on.
No? Need no hint.
When he gets a year wrong, I just want to tell him what the hint is, because I'm curious what your hints are.
Of course. It's the best-selling rap albums.
Face Off, and what was the last one?
And Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin. I remember going to Batman and Robin. What's the hint?
The hint is The Notorious Big, Life After Death.
97.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's something that I just know. You cannot know.
And that is why I put it there. I didn't put country albums because we'd be here all now. Douglas Robinson, most, middle, least.
Most, middle, least. Remind me of the three.
Tomorrow Never Dies, Batman and Robin, and The Face.
Okay. Batman and Robin was the one with Robin, which means it had Freeze in it. So that was a bad Batman. It didn't make a lot of money. You have Face Off, and what else? Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I would hazard a guess that Face Off, Tomorrow Never Dies. Face Off probably won with Tomorrow Never Dies. Second would be. Yeah, I think second is the James Bond movie, Tomorrow Never Dies, and last is...
You are incorrect. Oh. Andrew Robbins.
Face Off, Tomorrow Never Dies, and what's the third one?
And Batman and Robin.
Swap is top two. Tomorrow Never Dies beats Face Off, and that beats Batman.
Correct.
Are you counting sponsorship money in that? Because that doesn't count.
Box Office Mojo just puts the figures.
Okay, all right.
Shit, where the money comes from. And drop up.
Because I think that was the one where Benz just paid for it. Not Benz, BMW.
Yeah,
just
BMW
paid for
just
it.
Just went, yeah. No, dog. I want the Z3 this portion.
I still love that dumb joke about the invisible car.
That wasn't in Tomorrow Never Dies. Tomorrow Never Dies is a newspaper one.
Oh.
I thought that for a second, and that's why I was asking, because that's a 2003 movie?
Yeah, so what was that one? With
that's the news. Oh,
that's another day.
Yeah.
Andrew Robinson,
That's why I had to ask him like 10 times to say the name, and then I remembered, I was like, oh, newspaper. Yeah.
Andrew Robinson.
How many Bond movies have that in the title?
That's true. That would be a funny.
Is that replay? Yeah. Is it my quiz or your quiz?
Oh, it's our quiz.
Stop talking. Andrew Robinson.
I like how you pretend you're a troll.
Question number three. Kindergarten Cop.
Nah, oh my goodness.
Die Hard 2.
Die Harder.
Oh, I hate that movie.
And Total Recall. Again.
Total Recall came out three the same year as...
Three of the best movies.
Kindergarten Cop, really?
Of all time.
Wow.
Dropped in this year.
I'm 90% sure that Total Recall came out 1990.
Is that your final answer?
But would I would ask for a hint.
MC Hammer.
Oh, no.
Please, Hammer.
1990.
Don't hurt him.
1990.
1990 is correct. Andrew Robinson, how did the money work? Kindergarten
Recall,
Cop.
Recall, Kindergarten Cop, and
Die Hard 2.
Die Harder.
Die Harder.
I don't remember how Kindergarten Cop did. I'd assume Total Recall would
You
win.
Don't remember how any of these movies did. It was 100,000 years ago.
I would have been 4 years old. So
yes, of course you remember. Right, you're tracking box office stats then. Like every other 4 year old. You lunatic.
I'd assume after Die Hard, Die Hard would do very well. Even though that movie is horrible. I will go... It's hard to pick which one is the worst one. Total Recall wins.
I'm sorry we did this podcast with off-screen antics. That's what I'm going to tell you what happened.
I will go in order 1, 2, 3 from win to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Total Recall, Die Hard, or Kindergarten.
Andrew is correct.
Yes.
Andrew has 2 points. How does he have 3-2?
He gets 1 point for stealing from you.
Yes.
And he gets 2 points for answering his own question.
Okay.
Oh, so it's,
okay.
But
all
right. But if you get a year right and you lose, you don't get anything.
You don't get nothing.
Okay. Mm. That sucks.
Okay.
Eat a dick. Douglas Robinson.
Yes.
Still with 0 points.
Yes.
You're terrible at this.
I know.
Andrew's coming back with
Avengers. Because it's now all about movies.
Batman is Forever.
Okay.
The Toy Stories. And GoldenEye.
Oh, okay. I remember going to Toy Story.
Who gives a shit?
I remember going to Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
I have a guess of when that was. It was. Oh, I know what it is. As in, either first or third form.
Oh, yeah.
Third form.
Yeah.
Third form is.
You're old.
That, but. Hold on. I think I know when it is, but give me the hint.
Bone Thugs and Harmony. E. 1999 Eternal was the top grossing rap
album.
Didn't
they have a song on Batman Forever? Bone Thugs and Harmony?
Well,
yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Why? Of all the things for you to remember.
Yes, I did.
That is the
I
thing.
I remember that song playing
well,
on
it was
MTV
looking to my eye or something.
Just stop.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know when this happened. It was the year before third form, and I went to Florida on
mm-hmm.
tennis camp.
You're going
yes.
to die, an old man.
Yes. So
can I get a year?
So if I went into high school in 94,
right? And you carried the two.
So that's before one.
And divide by log 20.
This is 96.
You are incorrect.
It's 95.
Congratulations.
I know Toy Story came out in 95.
This is 1995. You are wrong.
Alright.
Would you like to still try?
Well, I thought I wasn't allowed to.
I don't care what. Would you like to still try?
Okay, sure.
No, the maximum you can get is 1 point.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If you get this right. Which
yes.
Do I get the point for
you? Nope.
Oh.
You said what? Forever?
For Batman is Forever.
Uh-huh.
The Story of Toys.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eye, which is Golden.
Shit, this is really difficult. These are
no
three
shit.
Top-notch movies.
Just
fuck.
Incredible. Incredible right. pieces of.
I'm
cinema.
Gonna go. I'm gonna go with Toy Story number one.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Forever and which one again?
Forever and the Eye, which is Golden.
Golden Eye. Okay.
That spawned shooters all around the world.
I think I'm gonna go
to
with
be shitty on 64.
I think I'm gonna
God
go with. I'm gonna go with GoldenEye probably being the last and the middle being Batman Forever.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Douglas has a point.
Because GoldenEye was the first Brosnan
exactly.
movie, so people
yeah.
weren't quite sure
yeah.
how much it would make.
Yeah.
Toy Story was like, oh my god, animation can make money.
Damn right.
Andrew Robinson, stop talking.
No!
Andrew Robinson, it is your turn. Boys N the Hood.
Oh, love that movie.
Fried Green Tomatoes.
I actually don't know that movie.
And Point Break. Three movies I saw so
Break.
Many times because HBO is
Break.
The worst.
Break. Oh. This is definitely early 90s, but give me a hint.
MC Hammer once again dominated the charts.
Too legit.
91.
Hey.
Congratulations. How did the money roll out?
So we're boys in the hood, right? We are
fried green, green tomatoes and the point at which I break.
Do you know what fried green tomatoes is?
I've heard the name. Uh-huh. I don't quite know what the movie's about.
That is terrific.
Good, that's great, because I'm not helping you.
Like, these are all movies which I expect to be mid-tier money movies.
I have the figures for all these movies, if you like.
Fried Green Tomatoes, Boys in the Hood, and what was the last one?
Point Break.
The best movie I want to trust the world to have all spent all their money on Point Break, but I don't know.
Oh, you mean when you were 6, you didn't have this unlocked yet?
No, I didn't have it unlocked.
Straight locking down box office mojo figures?
Straight.
Wow. Can't believe it.
And I'm afraid it's probably more cult than I think it is.
Can you just answer the goddamn question?
Point Break, Boys in the Hood, Fried Green Tomato.
You are so wrong.
Yep. Douglas I get Robinson. To steal.
Yes.
What is it? Point Break, Fried Green Tomatoes, and Boys in the Hood. And what did he just say?
Garbage.
What did he just say?
Just absolute rubbish.
Point Break, Boys in the Hood, I think Fried Green Tomatoes is number one.
Okay.
Point Break and Boys in the Hood, I think. All right. People are racist, right? So I think white people beat black people.
Fair enough. Your racism cost you.
What's that movie about?
It's a movie with like Dolly Parton and Sally Field and those kind of ladies.
I saw that movie because I have sisters.
Yeah, it's a chick flick, so it's gonna make loads of money.
82 million. Boys in the Hood made 57 million, and you racist bastard, you made 43 million.
Fuck.
No one got any.
I should have known. If people love it so much, that means that it's because it didn't do that well in the movies. I should have known that.
That's why I was saying it's cultish.
Yeah, it is cultish. Yeah.
Whose turn is it?
Mine.
Good job. number six.
Oh boy.
This one is it.
When is he going to get to the Matrix?
This one is it. The Lion King.
Okay.
The lies which are sometimes true. And The Gump of the Forest.
The Gump of the Forest.
Ooh, I should know that, but what's the hint?
The Notorious B.I.G.
94. He's only had 2 albums.
Yes.
It's pretty simple.
Man. It's weird, I would never remember the year of albums being released, but I know the year of Forrest Gump.
I knew that one of the two would get you guys there. Either the album would get you, or one of the movies. Alright, dog. How did the money work?
Remind me of the three?
The Lion King, The Lies of Trueness, and The Gump of the Forest.
Alright, True Lies is last. Forest Gump or
versus
what?
The Lion King.
The Lion King. Guess what? I think that Lion King probably beats out Forrest Gump. Yeah.
You are incorrect, sir.
Wow.
Swap top two.
Sure.
Shit.
I would have.
I know Forrest Gump was great and huge.
I thought Lion King
is yeah.
Everyone. That is why it is in there. Like, how did Lion King lose? The hell is this country is the worst country. Andrew Robinson, tis your turn.
Tis my turn.
Rush Hour. The Water Boy. Gujira.
I'm willing to guess this is 98, but give me the hint.
Tupac's Greatest Hits came out.
Not gonna help me.
It helps Douglas.
Yep,
Douglas
exactly knows when that is.
Douglas remembers the month that dropped. What is your guess?
So Godzilla,
The Water Boy, and Rush Hour.
'98.
Yep,
fair enough. Now, how did the money work out?
The Waterboy, Rush Hour, and Godzilla. Godzilla made a good amount of money, I feel. Rush Hour was big, and the other one is a Waterboy. I'll admit all Adam Sandler movies to be okay making, right? I've already forgotten. Godzilla, Waterboy,
Rush Hour.
Rush Hour number one, Godzilla 2, Waterboy 3.
Incorrecto. Shit. Douglas Robinson.
Okay.
How goes it?
That's. I probably would have. I may have guessed that. However, I do believe that the switch that needs to be made is in your bottom two.
Okay. So, who is number one?
Same Rush Hour.
Okay. You're wrong.
Okay.
Really?
Waterboy made $161 million.
Waterboy made a lot of money. I know that.
Rush Hour made $141 million.
Yeah.
And Godzilla coming in dead last with $136 million.
I know Waterboy was a big movie. Close. I didn't realize it was as big as Rush Hour. Rush Hour was huge, man. Like, wow.
You're all run of shit.
Wow.
Whose turn is it?
Mine.
Douglas Robinson. Scream.
Mm-hmm.
Eraser.
Mm-hmm.
And Space Jam.
Space Jam. What's the hint?
Tupac's All Eyes on Me.
Okay, I've never been a big Tupac fan.
biggest selling album of the year.
Let me think about it. It's early
90s.
So we've
he was
already
that
gone.
You were already racist by
91.
Started already. You picked Biggie, and Tupac could eat a dick. That's how it went.
We've done 94 already.
You son of a bitch.
We've done 94, so I'm gonna say that this is 93.
You are incorrect, sir.
Okay.
Mm.
No guess.
Okay.
Wait, can I guess the year?
Sure.
Just
you're not getting
of,
any points.
Just out of sheer curiosity.
Yeah.
Is it 96?
Of course, because you're looking at this nonsense and process elimination.
Yep.
You silly bastard. Douglas Robinson. Scream, Eraser, Space Jam.
Scream,
did the money
Eraser,
go?
Space Jam.
Mm-hmm.
Scream.
Remember, Michael Jordan is in Space
Eraser,
Jam.
Eraser, Space Jam.
Schwarzenegger
Thanks.
Is in Eraser.
Uh-huh.
And Scream. Spawned 19 billion
yep.
other movies.
Scream, Eraser, Space Jam.
Horror for a while.
I think I'm gonna go with Scream, Eraser, Space Jam.
Michael Jordan.
Scream, Eraser, Space Jam.
Eraser
is number one.
He was so popular, he got
Eraser is number one.
Mm-hmm.
Space Jam is last.
Mm-hmm.
And Scream, Eraser, Space Jam. No, mm-hmm. sorry. That's not what I want. Scream is last.
Okay.
And Space Jam is in the middle.
You are incorrect, sir.
Okay.
Andrew Robinson.
Scream, Space Jam, Eraser.
You two are incorrect.
Wow.
Scream is indeed first. With
oh, really?
103 million.
Really? Okay.
Scream was amazing.
Eraser.
No, that, but it was the first movie.
Eraser
that's
is second
like,
with 101
Eraser
million.
Eraser was huge.
And Michael Jordan's nonsense came in with 90 million.
Yeah,
I saw Michael Jordan could beat Eraser. I thought Eraser was less of Schwarzenegger.
But Eraser was after Schwarzenegger
You're
was big, was like the man.
Whose turn is it?
Andrew's. Do I get Matrix here? Give me Matrix here.
Pokemon, the first movie.
Oh, shit.
Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me. And the Matrix.
99.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your album? I'm
curious. Dr. Dre's 2001.
Yeah.
Sold 11 million. Holy shit.
I totally have that album somewhere.
Everybody, it sold 11 million. That's everybody on earth has that album. And Douglas is at it again. Now for the money.
If you open those boxes, you'll see albums.
Yeah, did Pokemon beat Austin Powers?
So Pokemon,
and the Matrix.
Austin Powers. So Matrix is one. Let's not even think about that. Matrix is number one. Pokemon and Austin Powers. Because this is US box office and that was always driven by Japanese money anyways.
Remember, this is tight. Like, the Pokemon movie came out in theaters.
Right.
So let's be serious.
I remember going to watch the
Pokemon cards were bigger than cocaine. There, a movie came out. So let's not pretend that you have any idea how much money that movie made. You have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel like you're tricking me right now.
Just give me your 2 and 3.
Austin Powers 2.
And Pokemon last, you're wrong as
God
shit.
Damn it.
Douglas Robinson. How goes it?
You know what would be funny?
Mm-hmm.
If the trick to this answer is
mm-hmm.
that Matrix is number one.
What? It's the Matrix. What are you talking about?
That would be hilarious.
You guys are underestimating Pokemon. Like, that was his downfall. Think about what I just said to you. A trading card game.
For from Japan.
Had a blockbuster movie. Like, what?
I'm just gonna fucking swing for the fences.
Right.
Pokemon number
Pokemon is number one.
Mm-hmm. He's tricking you.
What's
He's
the rest of it?
Matrix Austin one? Powers and the Matrix.
Matrix is... Austin Powers, which one?
The first one.
The Spy Who Shagged Me.
The Spy Who Shagged Me? Okay.
That was the first one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I can never remember the subtitle.
Just... There's one
good Gold Member is three, and the second one is...
Could you answer the question?
Okay.
That's a good question. What's the
Stop stalling.
Okay, so Pokemon is number one. Mm-hmm. You have also what Matrix and
Austin Powers. Two movies.
I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Austin Powers number two and Matrix number three.
You are both wrong.
Yeah,
Austin Powers made $206 million.
Is number two.
That's
the okay, Matrix that's made $171 million, and Pokemon made $85 million.
You know,
that was the last one.
You guys got
back.
You know, like,
Austin Powers is number one.
If I knew it was the second one,
that's the thing. I never remember the subtitles.
I would have adjusted.
First one,
but I don't think I would have gotten it.
You guys got.
Yeah.
And who is the last one?
That would be me. Do I get like extra bonus points?
What's
for the last question?
Absolutely not.
It's 100-0. Like
no, that's actually. It's pretty. Andrew has 2, 3, 4 points.
So this is like
and
one.
You have a point.
Exactly.
Yes, I win.
You're screwed.
No, actually, technically, I could. Yeah.
You
win.
Shot.
Yeah. Unless I get bonus points.
Sure, I'll give you 5
doubles.
Points.
Yes.
Doubles. Double your pointage.
5 points. We give that shit. Robin Hood's Men in Tights. The List of Schindler. And the Man That Demolished.
How much machine was this?
Wait, it can't be 94 because we've done 94 already, which means it's 93.
Okay. Snoop Dogg's Doggy Style came out.
Okay.
So it's 93.
I have that album.
I know, because I know when Men in Tights came out. Men in Tights came out right before I went to high school.
Okay. Money. Stop
Money. Sorry, remind me of the three Men in Tights and what?
Robin Hood, Men in Tights, The List of Schindler, and The Man That Demolished.
The Man That Demolished.
Demolition Man.
Oh, because I'm like, I don't know.
What
movie
first
that is?
Ever R-rated film.
Yeah, remember? We owned it on video cassette.
To watch that shit all the while.
I'm sorry, you own it on what now? I'm not familiar with this movie. You said
Blu-ray? Right, so, Demolition Man. I'm not. This is not an answer, by the way. I'm just making sure I know the three. Demolition Man.
Schindler's List. And Pokemon.
And Men in Tights.
Alright. I'm gonna go with Men in Tights, Demolition Man, and Schindler's List.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Andrew Robinson.
So for the I don't care points, Demolition Man, Schindler's List, and Robin Hood, Men in Tights, I'm going to go with Schindler's List number one, because I'm going to hope that Oscars beat it out. Demolition Man and then Men in Tights.
He is correct. Schindler's made $96 million. Demo Man made $58 million.
Wow.
And Robin Hood made
$35 million. How much money does Stallone make?
Wow.
Nothing. Right? After Rocky, he was done.
No, man.
And
Stallone
so Andrew with 5 points. And Douglas with 1.
Da-dum-dum.
You suck at this.
I do.
I'm going to continue doing this for eternity.
Yep.
What do you want? It was my first play. You know, you know how you're always trying to get things to come out perfect in art because it's real difficult in life. Interestingly, however, I did run into Annie again. It was on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. She had moved back to New York. She was living in Soho with some guy. And when I met her, she was, of all things, dragging him in to see The Sorrow and the Pity, which I counted as a personal triumph. And Annie and I, we had lunch sometime after that and, just kicked around old times.
This week, tied in with Mood Indigo, we are going to be talking about our top 5 people we wished did better movies. Douglas, Why don't you start this?
I can't say Michelle Gondry because that won't ever happen, right? It's like a dream.
Okay. So...
Jerk.
Seeing as it seems that everybody has him already, I'm just going to go with Michelle Gondry, who is on my list. Because I don't want to have any audibles, because I don't really have any.
I have no audibles, and I'm not going to pay attention to that game.
So, Michelle Gondry, let's forget this movie. The last good movie he made was in 2006.
What's the name of that movie?
The Science of Sleep.
Never heard of it.
And that movie is, if it's 2006, that's like, what?
Eight years ago?
Yeah. That's crazy long for me to wait for a good movie.
Well, you got one, didn't you?
I finally did, yes. And I would hope
I'm sure you did.
I hope that he actually continues.
Yeah, we're wrong.
Yeah, just keep making these movies. One person will like them. Alright. I'm going to start out with a bang. Hey, Ridley Scott sucks.
He has Exodus this year.
Yeah, and we wait with bated breath. Hopefully, he'll finally put out a good movie. But let me just give you fools a rundown of the shenanigans that has happened. The Counselor, Prometheus, Robin Hood, Body of Lies, and I'm willing to give American Gangster a pass. Just for the sheer fact that I need, I don't want to go all the way down to Kingdom of Heaven.
I love Kingdom of Heaven.
Yes, but I don't want to go all the way there. I don't want to go way back to 2005.
Was Body of Lies really a bad movie though? I remember liking it.
It's boring.
Really?
I don't even understand how you achieved that.
I've actually only ever seen that movie the one time we saw it in the theater. And I remember we were late like 10 minutes and we missed the best parts of the movie. Which I YouTube later. Sure, the best part.
Alright. Ridley Scott needs to stop. Stop making shit. Shit.
Hey.
He's next.
He's dead.
Who cares?
Yeah, no, you can't.
I know,
can't
calm down. Both of you, relax.
My number five is...
It says to 2002. It says it. It's dead. No, we can't make more movies.
That's 2012.
Whatever.
My number five is a filmmaker who is, of my list that I have here, probably made the least amount of films and probably the least I should really be getting on his case about. Because, you know, whatever. But this guy, he gave me probably the best post-apocalyptic comedy a few years back. And since then, he's had trouble making good movies since. Because Ruben Fleischer, goddammit, Gangster Squad and 30 Minutes or Less are fucking horrible movies. Right? Why can't you just keep making Zombieland? And don't give it to people to make TV shows out of that are bad.
Zombieland is amazing.
I like that movie.
If we take it a notch down from amazing, if we don't use Andrew scale,
if we use a real scale,
I would call that movie a 3. And the rest of his work doesn't seem that bad. He's just dropped 1 point.
No, at least 2.
Okay. Well,
Gangster Squad is horrible.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
That movie wasn't that great. He tried to be really pretty.
And it failed miserably.
I wouldn't say it failed,
right,
but it was just like.
Right, I'm just talking like it's a 1. It's hot garbage.
I don't know if I'd give it a 1.
Whatever.
So, I'm going to go, barring the last one, which was just, you know, a grab, I'm going to go in order of essentially like relevance to me. So, do I really care that this person has bad movies? If not, then he'll be like number 4. If I really do, then number 1. Right? So.
Makes sense.
My number 4 person is actually a director that Andrew adores. An actor, a comedian, a writer, an all-around...
Terrible guy.
Woody Allen. So, if you look at his last 10 years of work... No, we on this podcast... I can't remember how many of us, if it was unanimous or if maybe it was just 2 out of 3... But we essentially finally found a really good movie that he did, which was Cate Blanchett's movie. I can't remember the name.
Blue Jasmine.
But if you look at the last...
Didn't he also do
Midnight in Paris.
You know, yeah, hold on. But if you look at the last 10 years of
film, yeah, it's just hot garbage.
It is three good movies out of 10
in
total.
A sea of garbage.
Right? So, my boy is batting 300. He's at a 30%. He's at a 30% pass rate.
That's not a pass rate.
That's for F. Exactly.
See, so, I wasn't willing to consider Woody Allen for the list. Not just because I like him, because I agree if we're talking about the last decade of work.
Because you don't care.
Right? It's because I feel he's made so much that if we broaden it out to a percentage, I'm willing to give him a 50-50. And at that point, I just know going into any movie, it's whether it'll be the good or the bad one.
Yeah, but you know, for me, what this list is, right? Because as far as I'm concerned, the only reason I want somebody to make better movies is if I know they can, right? So this list for me is of people who, for some reason, caught my eye, and I love, I don't know, the first two movies they did or whatever, and then just decided to do shit for the rest of their career.
Yeah, but the
for me, that's where Woody Allen
falls. The understanding of Woody Allen to me is I see him as a stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. And a stand-up comedian doing jokes, when they come up, you know it's going to be a thing where one joke might work, one joke will work, one joke you're not really sure. Right? And I see that in his career. Right? And someone who's dumb enough in the world to continually giving him money without thinking, which is, instead of vetting every one of his ideas, going, that one's not really that funny, that one we should do that one.
Yeah,
he's just continually doing stand up and going, this is a joke I thought of. Well, and it's iffy. I'm fine with
people. No, I hear you. And the one thing that I'd say though is I'm not going to purport, I'm not going to say that I've watched every Woody Allen movie.
Woody Allen on his podcast.
I'm not going to say that, you know, I've enjoyed every Woody Allen movie, but what I will say is when I was younger and I started to get into Woody Allen, I watched a lot of his older stuff. And when I watched his older stuff, not once did I say, you know what, that movie's not that great. I loved everything that I saw from him. So that doesn't mean that, you know, he didn't do bad things when he was younger. It doesn't mean that I'm sure he has. And the truth of the matter is, I saw these things on cable, which means that more than likely these movies were curated in a sense, and the cable company, whether it was HBO or Showtime or whatever, decided these are the good ones and these are the ones that you should watch. So there is that argument as well. But for me, I just fell in love with Woody Allen's vibe, and no, it's not so much.
Okay. Quick question. You brought up VHS before,
yeah.
Then you brought up cable. I'm still not sure about these.
I know these are weird things. Well, they're definitely not technologies.
What are you thinking?
I'd like to remind you of FIO, right? Do you know what FIO is? No. About the wheel.
What are you talking about?
Okay, right.
Like car wheels? There's wheels on Formula One. Those are incredible. Alright. Now, before you guys stab me to death for mentioning this person.
The printing press.
I want you guys to know that I 100% am going to fight for this pick.
Oh, well.
Sam Raimi needs to cut the shit. Right? Alright?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his last few? Okay, so Oz, and what's before that?
Drag Me to Hell was before that.
Drag Me to Hell is awesome.
Fine.
But let's keep going. I had the 30% rule.
Spider-Man Part 3.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
We also have the what's it called? The Curve or something like that?
No, he did Spider-Man.
The one with Kevin Costner.
Spider-Man. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm telling
you're
you.
You're talking about Perfect Game.
Yes.
That's I think that's 90s or something.
Oh, okay, I don't know when it was. Yeah.
Again, he did The Gift, which is trash.
I don't know that one.
You don't want to. Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 2 was the good one. Spider-Man 3 was the terrible one. Drag Me to Hell was Redemption. And then he punched everyone in the face with Oz the Great. Powerful. And sadly, if we're looking at his upcoming director nonsense, he's doing a TV show called Rick.
I like that show.
Oh, yeah, he directed the last episode that I watched.
I didn't even notice that he was...
Yeah, I noticed it. It was in the end and it said Sam Raimi. I'm like, ah, nice. He directed like the fifth episode.
I'm not going to watch the Rake TV
it's,
show. I don't
it's
care what you say.
Pretty good.
I want him to make movies.
Yeah. I hear you.
Right? I have enough TV shows.
But after all
I'll
the money, us, the great and powerful, no one wants
want
to hire him.
I'll watch Rick and Morty forever. I'll watch Rick and Morty forever. And that's all the TV I need. I need movies though. And he's good at it. At least he was.
Yeah.
Till Disney conned him into making that hot, steamy pile of garbage. And I don't want you to continue to blame studios on him making shitty movies. It's he's the director. The director. The guy which directs.
Is that what a director does?
Yes.
I didn't know that. So I'm sorry.
He points and they point. He jumps and they do
something.
So what
about a managing director?
I don't want to hear it. Sam Raimi cut the shit. Give me some good movies, goddammit.
My number four is the Spike Lee. No, I adore 90s Spike Lee. I love him. Right, I love the work he did. Right?
And Douglas hates him too with every fiber.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think I agree with Andrew.
But between Miracle at St. Anna and Old Boy, and I still haven't watched Red Hook Summer, I've heard that's hot garbage.
Well, Old Boy, didn't
leave
we just have a podcast where we said that Old Boy was pretty okay?
I was
Andrew was not on board.
Andrew wasn't on board?
Andrew's like, I saw the Korean one first.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to hear it.
Alright.
I didn't get a horror photo. Spike Lee, you need to figure
check
out
yourself.
Whatever your problems are right now. If it's one of those things where you have money now, I don't know.
Check it. Yeah, Spike Lee has lost touch with humanity. Who lives a life like Spike Lee? Robert De Niro, nobody else. Like,
I'm actually very curious.
He's too rich to relatable.
While I
pure
think
madness.
The pitch that he gave was kind of crazy and dumb. I'm very curious to see what he ends up doing with that Kickstarter he got funded, because he didn't even tell us what it was really about.
Okay. My number three. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
It's just your bitches.
My number three. So this person, the last really good thing that they were in was in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 5 years ago. I don't think this person's actually been in anything really good even before that, but for some reason I love this person. This person goes by the name of Zooey Deschanel. And, actually, no, that's not fair. She's been in a couple of really good movies.
Nope!
Yeah, she has.
500 Days doesn't count.
She was also... 500 Days does count, and that's exactly what I was talking about with 2009.
Yep.
She was in the David Gordon Green movie, which was awesome.
Don't know
but anyway,
lies.
She, for some reason, there's... Maybe it's because she's pretty... Maybe.
So hold on, I need a moment.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
When you say she was in the David Gordon Green movie, you don't mean Your Highness, do you?
No.
Okay. Well,
there was one before that. shit.
Oh my God.
I'm trying to remember. Because
she wasn't Your Highness.
Thank you.
I'm trying
Thank
to
you.
Remember what it was.
Zooey Deschanel sucks.
I can't remember exactly what movie it was. It was
her
one
TV
of his
show sucks.
Like indie movies.
All her movies suck.
You mean All the Real Girls?
500
yeah,
Days
okay.
of Summer.
Okay, good.
I am retroactively going back and telling you
that's
that
previous
sucks.
To 2009.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was thinking post.
No, not
okay.
post, not post.
Right.
The last really good thing she was in was 2009.
Okay, alright.
Right?
I'll leave you
alone. And that is 500 Days of Summer. No, Andrew, you and I both love New Girl, right? That is not really good. As much as we love it, it's not really good.
Some
right?
would say actively bad.
Exactly, some would. And I could not argue with those, some. Right?
Don't worry,
no.
One
like,
day
yeah.
I will have the Big Bang Theory discussion with it. Right?
Yeah.
But today isn't the day yet.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Whatever, for whatever reason, I love her a lot. And even the bad things that she comes out with, I watch
Which
it and
many.
For some reason I still like them. But Zooey, please, you need to make some better stuff for me. Give me a real reason to like it so that I don't feel like I'm lying to myself.
I feel like you're going to do the same thing 2-3 years from now,
uh-huh.
naming Greta Gerwig.
I might. Because I could see where that argument is made.
Also coming out of garbage. Alright. In 1999, a small movie called Election came out. I like that movie.
was amazing.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
For the next
a fun movie.
14 years, this he guy out
nothing but fantastic
just
films.
Straight garbage. About Schmidt. Nope. Sideways. Nope. The Descendants. A nope. And then finally last year.
Finally my backside.
Fair enough.
That movie is horrible.
The Oscar of Nebraska. So he's proved that it was maybe a fluke. But I'd like some more of these flukes. Now Douglas hates this movie with a white hot passion because it bored him to tears, which can't really argue with. However, I love the shit of this movie.
I don't remember liking about Schmidt at the time, but I love everything else.
I don't think I've watched any of them. I've watched Election. I've seen Nebraska. I don't
I
think
know
I've
you
watched
saw
any
Sideways.
Of them.
I know you
oh, yes, that's
that
right.
Movie.
He did Sideways, and I hate that movie.
Because it's really
God
bad.
God awful. I forgot that he
did
that.
Did you watch
one.
The Descendants?
Yeah.
You
no,
want
I
to watch George Clooney being terribly in a movie for about 2 hours? Hate yourself?
If you want, you can just watch Batman.
Oh, I don't think I called this fool's name. It's Alexander Payne.
Yep.
And I hated him for a good long while. But
he's
then he rectified that with Nebraska. The Oscar.
My number three goes to a director who some might call a very much run-of-the-mill director who kind of jumps from film to film. Very mediocre films. I like a lot of his movies, especially some of his earlier movies. But I feel like he's had a run of really poor picks the last few years, and this is the one, the great Doug Liman. Guys, I adore The Bourne Identity. I adore Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but guess what? I don't love Jumpo or Fair Game.
I love
and
Jumpo.
I am in dire fear of Edge of Tomorrow because of his name.
Hey guys, do you remember when they were like throwing cars in Jumpo? So dumb.
I know it's a horrible movie,
so
but
dumb.
For some reason it just tickled, it scratched the right
so
itch
dumb.
Or something. It's so good.
The premise is so stupid.
So good.
And Sam Jackson is so bad.
Did you guys watch Fair Game?
Why would I do that? I don't hate myself that much. I saw the trailer and went, what?
No. And he's the director.
Oh,
well,
he really hasn't
but
directed
I
much recently.
Love that trailer. I love that. You're just hating it because it looks
is
a lot
Edge
like
of
Jumper.
Tomorrow the one with
actually reminds me a lot of Oblivion.
Is that Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It reminds me
well,
a lot
you know
of
what?
Oblivion.
It reminds me of like it's ah goodness, Duncan Jones.
Oh, Source Code.
Source Code. It's just like that.
Fuck Source Code is good, especially when you edit that shitty ending. it's your turn, right, Douglas?
Yeah, it is my turn, but
Dos.
But Jumper and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, fantastic. Oh my goodness.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, half of that movie is fantastic.
What's Fair Game?
All of that movie is
the
awesome.
The first 50 minutes
all
where nothing happens.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's so good. It's an action movie where for 50 minutes nothing happens.
Oh my god, this is Fair Game. That movie is not good.
Shit,
yeah. Okay.
It's not a guess.
Anyway.
I'm telling you it's not
a guess. Anyway, I think my next pick is going to be somewhat controversial.
You're not allowed to say Tarantino.
No, it's not. Because that wouldn't be controversial.
That
doesn't
make sense.
Exactly.
You better move, like what?
You do know that. And like as much as both
person,
of us have made fun of you on many occasions for loving Tarantino a little bit too
on
much.
On Tarantino love of late.
Exactly.
It's
yeah.
You. How's that fan club going?
Yeah.
They actually kicked me out of the trailer.
Damn right.
Yeah.
And I'm now just a regular member again.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna get some definite kickback from this one, who's just gonna be like, fuck, there's no movie that this person has made that's good. And from you, because you probably like them a bit too much. And to be fair, I love them 100%. But lately, oh my goodness. So the last good movie they made was in the last really good movie, right? I shouldn't say good, really good. The last movie where I was like, yes, was done in 2003. That is 11 years ago. That's more than a decade, right? That's a long ass time to be on a street. to not be on a street.
No, he was still old then.
This person is actually a lady. She directs movies. She directs movies that I love. Her name is Sofia Coppola. And Lost in Translation was the last really, really good movie that she did.
I finally broken through.
However, I really wanted to make better movies.
You still haven't watched Bling Ring, though.
No, I haven't. But I've been told by reliable sources that it is horrendous.
Please watch that movie.
Oh, I'm going to. Don't worry.
Of course. You think there's a Sofia Coppola movie that I'm not going to watch at this point? But it is the first thing on every list.
Okay. Bling Ring, by all accounts, is horrendous. I did not like Somewhere at all. The other one, Marie Antoinette, was okay.
I like Somewhere more than Bling Ring.
Marie Antoinette was alright.
Of course you do.
This woman needs to.
It's a better
she
movie.
Really needs to make some more movies.
Thing you've ever said
some
in
more
life.
Good movies. So, Damien,
Somewhere is honestly amazing movie.
That's right. Alright.
By the way, stop.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
How did I know? But hold on. Why would you watch any Sofia Coppola movie? I didn't think you liked any of them.
I hate every single one of them.
He needs to knowledgeably hate them.
I am not
individually.
You asshole.
Oh, David, you just haven't seen it.
Never.
I won't give you the satisfaction.
So does that mean you don't watch
everyone
every Soderbergh movie as well?
No, I don't hate Soderbergh. He actually has good movies.
Oh yeah, he does.
You watch all Kiarostami films as well?
And what he makes good movies as well. I don't hate them. I hate her. Because she makes shitty movies. And she's a woman.
What?
I'm gonna help myself. Take that clip, just send it to the sisters.
Yep. And then have me be shot in the face repeatedly. Alright. There's a director that. Right.
Because the computer can run Skype.
Yeah.
It's certified.
It's certified by Microsoft. Owner of Skype. There's a director that made The Dilemma. Angels and Demons.
Oh,
The Da Vinci Code.
Ronnie
Cinderella
boy.
By The Missing.
Hey, I like Cinderella,
you
man.
Go straight to hell. Right? And to kind of avert your gaze from the fact that he's been making hot garbage, he put out Frost Nixon. Like, oh yeah, he can. And then straight up garbage again.
Remember MTV? The movie was fun.
I don't think I've ever watched that movie.
Then last year he went, maybe I should make good movies. And he put out Rush.
Oh, I love
and reminded
that.
Me, oh yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
So here, guess what, Ron Howard? Stop making TV appearances. Stop writing books. Stop doing whatever the hell it is you're doing, wasting time. Pick good products and give me good movies. For the love of God.
Andrew Robinson.
So my number two is probably not the best pick. I'm thinking about it more and more. I feel it's because he, in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, is dead as someone who will make things, right?
He's dead.
No, I just feel like he's not going to be much of a creator anymore. He's
dead
just,
to
he,
me!
He's waiting. I'm thinking more as a director than anything else, which is something I feel he's never going to do again anyways. And this is George Lucas. Because say what you will about the Star Wars movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
American Graffiti is fantastic.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that movie is amazing.
He did
the first Star Wars movie.
Yeah, he did.
And then he came back as a director to direct every fucking one of the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
What about Indiana Jones?
He didn't direct
it. I just love seeing it. So that people can say he didn't do it. That they can smile.
I liked what he did in those early movies, in American Graffiti and in the first Star Wars movie. Don't like what he did with the rest of those. As a director. Producer, I can't really say because he's probably produced more films than many people.
Still don't like Star Wars.
So, guys, for my number one, I'm going all the way back to 2006 again.
Still getting mine.
That was the last
two.
The last movie that this person
nine,
did that was
nine,
really
nine.
Great. And when I said did, this person, he's an actor and he appears in a couple of movies.
No, he doesn't.
And he does well in his small cameo appearances. But in terms of movies that he is a significant part of, and he really, you know, creates, something has just gone wrong with him. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but it just has. Sacha Baron Cohen is hilarious, right? For some reason, no, people will argue with this one. I'm fine with the argument. I know that I don't have much of a leg to stand on here, but for some reason, I connected with Ali G. I thought Ali G, exactly, right?
Maybe it was because you had braids in your hair.
So, Ali G was hilarious to me, and massive. As stupid, he stains massive. So, as stupid as Ali G was, I love that movie.
How
right?
much, how much
in the house.
The other day when we sat down and we rewatched Attack the Block, how much were you hoping he would just walk past?
Just for a second.
That movie was way better than I remember it being, and way better than it had any right to be. But yeah, Ali G was great. And then he sat down, and Borat already existed, right, from his TV show, and somehow he crafted a masterpiece with Borat. Borat, I don't think, as much as I know there are people that don't like that movie, those people are fucking wrong.
Ricky
and that I will argue to the death.
I think those
right?
people are more the kind of people who would have been tricked into being in that movie and shown to be the worst people in
yeah.
the world.
Yeah.
It is the people who, after they waited like a week and didn't see the movie, were inundated. Dumb assholes.
Wow, are we
doing Borat references so much so that they began not only to hate the people that they talk to,
mm-hmm.
but Borat himself.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
you?
That is me. That's
oh
the,
wow.
You weren't the first week. First,
I
week?
Try to like Ali G, not Ali G, Borat.
Yeah,
but I saw it so late
uh-huh.
that I'd heard every single joke. And it just came off as, oh, he's racist. And his racism is getting other clearly racist people to be... So, there are some people who... Like, I don't understand how the police didn't just roll up and just grab up some of those. Like, dog, you can't be this racist. Like, stop it.
Like, it's weird because I remember at the time, and Douglas was big on it, with me because I was not a big Ali G fan.
Yeah,
still,
yeah.
To a certain extent, I'm not.
It's just so dumb.
But yeah. when the Borat movie came out, like I wasn't one of these people who are tricked into going, this is a whole different person who mm-hmm. I don't know who he is.
Right.
No, I knew it was.
Yeah,
Sacha
of course.
Baron Cohen,
and honestly, anybody who knew Sacha Baron Cohen before knew this because on his show in both England and in the States,
right.
both of those characters were. The big characters. He had actually created Bruno when he went to the States and went on HBO. But even in England, it was Ali G. And then in the latter part of that show,
that
Borat
Bruno
came in.
Oh. And the Dictator.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I like
Since,
the Dictator.
No, the Dictator was
not.
Average at best, and I don't even.
It's, I mean, no, yeah, it's bro. Not top five, but I.
Yeah, but no, I wasn't a big fan of the Dictator. I hope, honestly, I hope to pull an Attack of the Block and watch it again and like it. But at this point, no, right? So the Dictator, not so great. Bruno was. Terrible.
I still
right?
haven't watched that movie.
It was horrible.
I think I saw like 5 minutes of it once.
He has done nothing good since Borat that he was a direct force behind. So, no, I
Hugo
agree, right?
Count,
yeah. Exactly. You know, Hugo doesn't count, but he was great in Hugo. Mm-hmm. He was great in Spielberg's musical, the Fleet Street musical. He was fantastic in that. He was great in... Oh, I haven't watched that, so I don't know.
Les
but Miserables. he was great in Ricky Bobby. He comes into other people's
he
things... For like 5 minutes,
he was
and
great when
he lights
an old
up.
Lady in the award ceremony.
Oh yes, right, I remember that. But he lights up the stage. He lights up he makes other people's things better. And every time I see something like that, see one of his bit parts, I get more and more upset more and more frustrated because I look at it and I point it out as evidence that this man is just so funny. And how has he not been able to parlay that into yet another good movie? How does that not happen? And I think, I wonder if it's that he's clearly wedded to this idea of creating a character with an ecosystem around it, right? So he created Ali G and made Ali G into a person. And the movie kind of revolved, even though that was, I think, his, between that and The Dictator, right? Those are the only real fictional movies, so to speak, right? Or I don't want to say fictional, but those movies that felt like they were movies in the sense that, you know, they had a script, they right. had punchlines, that kind of
other
stuff.
Actors who didn't know
exactly or who knew, were in on the joke.
He
exactly
was, he was making fun,
right? And that's what he did with the Ali. So the Ali G show was Ali G walking around and interviewing people. The Ali G movie was actually a movie. Then he got into Borat and was
with
like, you know what,
Tywin Lannister dancing.
Oh yes, it was Lannister. Oh my, okay.
I love the fact that Game of Thrones is so big now that every time someone is talking to me about it, I just send them that clip.
Yeah,
of Tywin Lannister in the dress, and they're just like, Andrew, you have ruined this.
I know, right?
I used to like this man. I respected him as a human.
I know, right? And since then, now he got Borat, and he hit a home run with Borat, where he created that character and that ecosystem, and he just went around the states, and you can argue how much of that was true or wasn't true, and maybe there was some acting outside involved, whatever, but it was this thing where he became somebody and he had people who didn't know that he was really an actor react to him. And then he tried to do that again with Bruno, right? And it just failed because, and I never really liked Bruno as a character to begin with. I remember watching the HBO shows and thinking they were either an exact copy or just a not as good version, depending on which scene you're watching, of his old English show. And Bruno just never worked, and the movie proved it, right? And I feel like he's wedded to that. Even with The Dictator, as much as The Dictator is kind of going back to traditional movie making, where it's a script, there are punchlines, there are jokes, it's good, it still was one big character who was the main focus of the movie, and the movie lived or died by him, right? Not necessarily the situation, not necessarily any supporting cast or anything like that. So I wonder what, and I don't want to say regular movie, because I almost don't want him to make a regular movie, because he's just kind of, he seems to me to be a little bit weird and able to do crazy things. But I wonder what, you know, a movie like an Ali G, or even an Ali G with more people on the sidelines that is made by him would look like. I wonder if he could do that, you know? Or if maybe all it is that all of this time now he's been working on the latest, you know, Ali G Jr. or whatever the next character is. Right. And that's just going to do gangbusters. But I'm just so, I get so upset whenever I see him in other people's things. Know he is great, and know that I'm probably not going to see him do anything good again.
Yeah. Someone to Trump.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Speaking of people that will probably never do anything good again, I'm going to give you three movies that came back to back that redefined what I thought movies were. The first one was Bad Boys.
Oh my goodness. The second one was Bad Boys.
Number two was The Rock.
Yes, Michael Bay.
And the third was Armageddon. And I went, he's the best director of all time.
Yep.
Then he failed me. He failed me hard. He gave me a boatload of money. And he put out Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
And everyone went, why is this 3 hours and there's no action? And he said, oh, you want action? I will give you action. He put out Bad Boys Part 2. And it had so much action that it had a second ending. That movie ended. Then they went to Cuba to end that movie again.
To rip off Police Story.
Because they could. Because Michael Bay demanded it. Then he directed Lionel's Richie Collection. No, no. And then he said,
I don't have to blow up shit all the time. I can make this sci-fi thriller called The Island. And then halfway through you realize everyone was bored to tears and tried to turn it into an action movie. And everybody went, what the fuck are you doing? And he went, okay, so you want action? And since then it's been just trash. Just Transformers.
Trash with the
Pain and Gain. And then more Transformers.
No, it's not. Pain and Gain is a half an hour away from being a great movie. Yeah. Like you cut out some of that fat, and it's I agree. There's potential to be awesomeness, but that movie, Andrew, is just too long.
Apart from not robot dinosaurs, which will be in a movie that is terrible. As much as I'm looking forward to robot dinosaurs,
because you're dumb.
That is 100. That is why Michael Bay is at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Douglas, there's hope on the horizon.
Why is that?
It's a third Bad Boys. I don't give a shit.
How fat do you think Martin Lawrence is now?
Yeah, that's
true. They have to use Martin Lawrence.
How is it a Bad Boys movie without...
He replaced everybody from Transformers. How is it a Transformers movie without Shia? How is it a Transformers movie without Megan Fox?
Do you think they make a Bad Boys movie without Will Smith?
But who they'll make it without is 1900 pound Martin Lawrence. They'll use what's his face from Ride Along.
No, don't you dare.
Kevin Hart.
Yes.
No.
Use Kevin Hart.
No.
I'll take that.
Actually, I could see him being the no today. That's version
it.
Of
done.
This podcast is over.
I'll take that 4,000. It doesn't matter. All that is important is that at some point in my lifetime, Michael Bay
makes another bad
pushes voice. Aside. The piles of zillions out of his way.
The Transformers money.
And looks in a dark, dusty corner and sees a script. What has a 3? And it says, Bad Around the World. And I want it. I want it.
Mm.
Michael Bay, please stop making garbage.
So yeah, I'm not going to bother spending a lot of time on this. My number one is Michel Gondry. I already said it already. He's 3 movies down now. Like, guys, like I'm trying to, like, when I finish with Mood Indigo, I try to ask myself, if I watch Silence of Sleep now, will I just be annoyed by it?
Because now you have sense.
But Eternal Sunshine is still a perfect movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is. It's
no,
beautiful.
I don't think anyone can.
Have you ever watched the other one? Have you watched, what's it called again? Human Nature.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you like that one?
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Okay.
Oh, we're still talking about
Michelle. No, I'm done. So that's the podcast.
What a killer outro. You can find us on the internet.
You can find us on the
fuck
internet.
You guys.
Fuck you guys.
What's next? Like, where are you talking to?
As always.
Let's just aim for the worst outros of all time.
I always love that joke from Patton Oswalt. He was doing his stand-up once and he, like in the middle of it, he was like, I wonder if we could have like a system of challenging comedians where you make the, you say the worst thing in the world, the worst segue in the world, and you just try to come back from it to see who could be the best and just challenge yourself. You'd be like, I think Hitler's okay, and now to this other joke.
Dave Attell would win.
I need to listen to him more. I used to love him so much.